Yep. Too bad we're probably not getting any more until next year.
Well, I mean, I don't think I finished this last season.
What?
I know.
You're fucking terrible.
I'm sorry. I got trapped up in doing so much other shit. Mostly watching other shows.
You about to say?
At least I finished stuff.
Yeah.
Most stuff.
Yeah. Mike?
Yeah.
Well, one episode in. Speaking of one episode in, comes naturally. We are
Joe.
I'm the new Joe. Because I don't finish stuff anymore.
Yeah, you are.
what do we call you?
Mike.
Oh, and still I'm Cody. Mike.
I'm just talking in context of this group. I don't watch stuff anymore.
Because we were having this discussion earlier, just saying like what I've been talking about, what I've finished in the past week, and it's suddenly this realization of I've actually finished a shit ton of stuff this last
week. I'm so proud of you.
You've been
finished The Stand.
You've been fucking some shit up.
Altered Carbon. What was the one before Altered Carbon? I don't remember what the show was. Westworld, yeah. And yeah. I started watching the Joe McHale show.
Which you can't watch.
Yeah, exactly. You can't finish watching
once a week bullshit.
Right? It's fantastic.
No, man. I want to binge watch it. The problem is it's all based on stuff that's happened that week. So
yeah, exactly.
You can't really binge watch it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can later.
But who wants to do that? Yeah, but I mean,
you Cody does. Binge
watch it now.
Yeah, because I want some Joel McHale in my life.
No skinny tie wearing ass motherfucking Joe McHale.
No skinny tie wearing.
Oh, I watched.
He's on Netflix and there's no rules.
John dies at the end. It only took me how many ever years to finally watch that movie.
It was awesome, right?
It's good, was actually hilarious.
You need to read the book now.
I will.
I'm drastically different, by the way.
Bought the.
But John Carbon. Still dies at the end.
I bought the Altered Carbon.
It's in the name.
Right.
That's like saying the Muppets are in the Muppets.
But it's like a three book. No. Was that one?
It's three books, right?
Three
now,
books, yeah. Because yeah. Altered Carbon was three books as well.
You bought all of them already?
Oh. No, but it says you can when you pull it up, it shows the other ones. Because yeah. They're not called Altered Carbon. The first one's Altered Carbon, but they're the Takashi novels.
Yeah.
Or Takashi...
Something like that.
Chronicles?
Something like that.
But there's more than... there's more than, though.
It says... Well, it's one of those ones where it's like the Takashi...
I can probably tell you.
Chronicles series, so that's that. But there was only three books listed on Amazon.
You might be right. I might be thinking of something else.
Yeah. But then there was something else I finished. What was it? It was another movie I watched.
What other book are you reading right now?
Well, I started the Altered Carbon audiobook.
No, besides...
the Expanse book.
You're still really Persepolis Down?
It's Arising? I'm like 70% into it.
Jesus Christ,
I like reading. I like reading before I go to bed. The problem is that there's no... Whisper Sync available on that one for some reason.
Yeah.
So I can't listen to it and read it, which would mean that I'd finish it a lot faster. So I end up reading it before I go to bed, which case it helps me sleep. So I usually only get through a couple pages before I'm like almost out. So that one's going to take me a little while to read. That's why I went with The Stand to listen to alongside it, because I figured I would actually finish The Expanse before I'd finish The Stand. And that didn't quite happen.
Which, I mean... The Stand's a very long book, so you would think
40-something hours.
Yeah,
40 hours.
So you'd think he'd be able to put. He couldn't read a single novel in 40 hours.
Well, I have in the past. I don't know, for some reason this one I just haven't. I don't know.
Man, whatever. Yeah, there's three: Altered Carbon, Broken Angels, and Woken Furies are the three Takashi. Kovacs books, which make up the Altered Carbon universe.
Which Altered Carbon, the show, was absolutely fantastic.
And when I was looking this up, I was looking at his stuff, and it reminds me because it's on here again. The dude that wrote those books, Richard K. Morgan, wrote Crisis 2, the video game.
Yeah.
I was like, well, that actually makes a lot of sense. But he has other books, too. I was thinking about reading as well. A couple other ones. But he wrote a Black Widow comic book.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them. More recently, no less. Well, I said more recently. I mean, 2005 and 2006. But, you know what I mean? More recently.
It is more recently because Altered Carbon was 2001.
Two.
Two?
Yep.
2002. Which blows my mind.
So things right now, there's like people like Amazon has one. We can probably look it up right now. That they're working on. They just bought the rights to where it's like this story of like how humans have evolved to go beyond our known universe, mm-hmm. and they start they find out there's no extra planets like Earth in other galaxies. So what they do is they take if I remember reading what I was reading correctly, they take and they destroy planets and rebuild them into new versions of Earth. And so there's ones that are like, there's a whole galaxy of halos, of like rings.
Oh, really?
And there's like ones that have like, that are flat, which I thought was really funny. Mm. Cause I was like, oh, people are like, flat that's Earths. What we're on. Yeah. But yeah, so they recreate, every galaxy gets its own Earth, but it's in a different shape to differentiate itself or whatever. And I was like, that's fucking crazy. But I don't know. That's what I was reading.
Interesting. I'm absolutely super glad that they're picking up and taking chances with these sci-fi films.
Yeah, for sure. And making TV shows out of them instead of trying to cram them into a movie.
Right.
Sons of bitches.
Still my biggest fear about Ready Player One.
Yeah. I mean, this is written by... The screenplay was written by
him,
so...
No, it is. It's just that it almost feels like that it has too much of the possibility of just cramming...
The new trailer has been interesting to watch because you could see the stuff that they changed, and reading the book, you can kind of guess, okay, I think this is this part of the movie, and it's obviously a change, but it looks like it makes sense right. for what you're doing, and there's enough of those cool little tidbits like sprinkled in. Like the big party scene, the dance scene, you show a quick little. I was like, holy shit, they're actually going to take time for like that part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that club where they dance in the zero gravity.
So I thought that was pretty cool. But then you see like the group of players running with the headgears and stuff on out in public on a street.
Yeah, the new trailer shows that. I was like, that's fucking rad.
I was like, all right. Or him in the back of the...
And what looks to be the back of the van that he was in, and he has a newer suit on.
And he's either suspended or on a track thing, and he's doing his thing. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm guessing it's this part, and that slight attachment is a good thing because it looks like they're not doing the hermit version of him. Yeah,
he's not going to have the apartment
part of the book
where he shaves his head and all his body and does the workout and
blah, blah, blah. Because he never starts as a fat dude either, you know? So, like, that little storyline goes away that he... And then that, and you finally see I'm spacing on the girl's name.
It's been way too long. Yeah,
what's the one?
But
say Hermione.
Yeah, she's. You could see her birthmark, and I'm like, she's like still. Attractive? It's weird. She's still very pretty, but she has the birthmark, which is supposed to be enough to run her into this game. World. And
yeah,
I don't know. That part was a little.
But that weird. Falls into the whole
Artemis.
Like, he's
Artemis thing. Samantha Evelyn Cook, better known as Artemis. That
falls into the whole thing from the book where he's a fat, nerdy kid who, you know, has a bad complexion and blah blah blah. But when he's in the Oasis, he's totally something different, and that's her character as well.
And it's weird to say you have to cast somebody ugly as this character because then you're just being mean to people. But you have to like
that's not true at all. They did that with Charlize Theron when she did Monster.
Yeah, but that's Monster. A body. Yeah, but what he's saying is that you don't have to make him. You can make him this loser who has glasses, you know, big Coke bottle glasses or whatever. You don't have to make him, but because when he's in the game world, he doesn't look the same. He still looks more
like that's the biggest noticeable is like what the underlining theme of this game is. What drove these people into the game is the fact they could be someone completely different and a better version of themselves in the game.
Yeah,
which you could still drive home that better version of yourself, but you're physically obviously not gonna.
Right,
and that to be fair to the movie makers. That would be a lot harder to convey that in a movie than it would be a TV show.
Yeah.
But like I was originally saying, though, I feel like with Ready Player One, if I'm reading into the trailers properly, I could see what they're changing. And I like how there's just little tidbits of the right stuff sprinkled in. I think they're going to do it justice. From what I'm seeing, I'm like, all right, this all looks like it's lining up to be.
Because I think the overall story itself, besides the character arc that he goes through, the main story is still going to be there, where the major corporation is trying to get control of the Oasis, and so they are going to the far means of killing people to eliminate them from the competition, things like that. So that overall story is there. It's just they skip a lot of the, I don't want to say fluff, but like the expanded detail of the different games and go through. So instead of being taking place over many years, it takes place over maybe a few days or a week or something like that.
So one thing that I'm still hoping is in it are all the keys.
Well, yeah. We've seen two so far.
Yeah. But are they going to get rid of one or whatnot? Are they going to change up how those are found?
Most likely, yes.
Where those are found?
Well definitely one of them. I just reenact the whole movie.
Yeah,
I don't think they're going to do that.
Yeah,
no.
But it did look like, I don't know if this was it. I'd have to double check it. But in that newer trailer, it looked like he was getting flipped a coin. I was like, oh, is that his...
that must be the extra
one. Perfect, yeah, is perfect that another Pac-Man, one? Yeah.
Score. Yeah. Is that why you got that? I was like, oh, that's that?
I think. And that's what I mean. Are we going to be missing scenes like that?
But I could see if they get rid of a key, I think it'd be the first one or change the first one.
How he gets it, yeah, instead of going to the D&D thing?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do the D&D.
Because it doesn't look like he ever goes to high school in this either. And that was the big thing, is it happened to be on the same
right, which place, they've never shown us any high school as well.
Yeah, so
it looks like I think this up
the first key.
Yeah, I think they sped it up and they basically went from him being out of high school, because I think I mentioned he's like 20 something in the movie.
They also never show the at least that I can recognize. They never show that place that he always went to with all of his friends inside the
hangout. Yeah.
The hangout. Yeah,
yeah.
That has to be in there at some point, though.
There's got to be somewhere where they go. Because
you have the reveal at the end of the book that Homeboy was watching them the whole time.
Yeah,
yeah.
So something like that hangout has to be. Conveyed, so I feel like that's going to be worked in there, and we just haven't seen it yet.
Okay,
yeah, because I think if I remember correctly in the trailer, he says he's almost 20 or just 20 or something like that. Is like, I'm so and so, but he's not like high school age. Is at the beginning of the book, so he's going to be. They accelerated that part to where he's already out of high school to then become the Gunters and everything.
Maybe they pick up the story after they found the first key.
Well, no, because they talk about the death in the trailer. And he's already old and older.
Well, I'm saying maybe he could be telling us that.
Oh, like maybe.
You know what I mean? And because, like, after the first key, there's a big layoff in the book of any progress happening.
Yeah. Once the first key's found, it's just like everyone starts.
Yeah, so
like,
you can start with him telling you, this is where we're at in terms.
Yeah.
This is how I found the first key. But obviously better than like, hey, this is what happened. Now you're caught up.
Right. But you're saying instead of starting from nothing where everybody went looking for the keys once they were announced and then, you know, 10, 20 years passed by, nobody found it.
Yeah, because everything picks up after the second key is found. Like it starts rolling pretty fast after that.
Yeah, you can have them find the first key. They know the clues to the next key. It's just that 10, 20 years passes and nobody's been able to figure it out.
Yeah.
I get what you're saying.
Yeah, because by the time they go for the third key, he already has that like moon base and like all that crazy ass shit. He's already like a super famous.
Yeah, he's gotten all the sponsors.
And yeah,
blah, he's got his own TV channel.
TV channel, yeah.
That sort of shit. Just goes to show you they should have made a TV show.
Give it to Netflix.
I still think though movies are, I don't know if I'd say more important. But I feel like
they're still there. The thing with this though is there's so much in this and like character development and the passing of time that it would have been better for a TV show. Now the other book that he wrote would be better. I would say would be more formulated to be just a movie.
Yeah, because that was literally just
Armada.
It was Armada is the name of the book, but it was just essentially the Last Starfighter.
Yeah.
Which was a movie,
yes. Yeah. And that's, he even says that's like,
I guess technically it still is a movie.
Yeah, and they make reference to it in the book, which is really funny because it's very, very meta. Like you're essentially ripping off Last Starfighter,
but you're saying that you already know that
you are.
Yeah,
and you're it's more of a paying homage to it.
I still think the ideal of getting a movie, and it might be like an outdated. It might just be how the time frame in which we grow up. I still think the ideal of a big book like that getting a movie is like a bigger excitement around it than getting a TV show for like the average person. You know what I mean?
I'm almost surprised they didn't try to make it three movies where each key would be a movie. And so the end of the second movie, you get the third key, which leads into the big.
That's a
you know
it's a crazy or leads sci-fi up to the movie. Second, yeah. And like I'm pretty
yeah. That's
with what I'm Steven saying. Spielberg being behind it, I think he could have done it if he pushed for it. But has he
ever well,
done
Steven a Spielberg sequel? doesn't do sequels.
No, I'm saying like he could have been like I'm gonna do the first one. You know what I mean? And this could be like I know if Steven Spielberg wanted it to be a trilogy, whether he had anything to do with the other two, whether it's just executive producer or not,
like Jurassic Park,
he could have gotten. He has the pull for that, but the fact that I mean, how no sci-fi movie unless it's an established property is going to get approved for a 3-movie plan the get go. Yeah. So.
Not for sci-fi. Sci-fi is fucking impossible to do.
Was Indiana Jones the only sequels that he did?
Yeah, but they're not technically sequels. They're
but they're still the same character throughout the other movies.
But those are the only ones, yeah.
Those are the only ones, yeah. Huh.
That was I mean, he produced Star Wars, if that counts. Yeah. But yeah, it's the only ones he's technically has done.
Direction, yeah. What I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, but they're not, according to him and everybody else, they're not sequels. They're just other adventures.
Well, yeah,
because they don't lead directly into each other.
Jones and the Raiders of the Raiders of the Lost Ark or something like that.
Yeah, because they're not a continuation of a story, like Star Wars is a continuation of a story.
Right. In fact, they're considered chapters of
his life.
Yeah,
kind of like James Bond, just new adventures of.
Yeah.
And apparently Jack Reacher, which I didn't know this. I think Taj told us, and then maybe just glance over my head because it's Taj. The release of the Jack Reacher books aren't in order.
No, he said that. Yeah.
Oh, he did tell that. Yeah. And so, like, one book he's like.
He could be one age.
And yeah. And the next book he's younger. Age.
Yeah.
And then next book he's older. And then it goes back to being the same age he was in the first book. And there's like 400 of them. So, like, you know. Yeah. I was like, well, that's a weird, super weird way of telling a story. But then again, it's not a continuation of a story. It's basically just an adventure of.
No.
So I thought it was. Thought it was kind of strange, but whatever, man. You know,
You could read them chronologically.
From probably
inside the story. If you just found somebody that knows the,
he'd have to stop though, because otherwise he might be like, "Oh, this one's when he was a teenager." Like, God, fuck! I have to go get my time machine, go back and read that one now.
Well, yeah,
son of a bitch. Yeah.
Hmm.
It is weird, though, when we went and saw Black Panther, which we'll talk about now, the trailers they showed weren't new trailers for everything.
No.
Like, the Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom one was the first one they released.
So we didn't even get the updated trailer of that one.
Yeah.
The one that Mike hates.
The one Mike hates more. Or is disappointed in more.
Sorry. Yeah.
No, that's a hate one.
Oh, is it a hate one?
Okay. Hate?
There is a difference between hate and disappointed. We won't get into it because it's an off-air thing. But this one, I'm...
Mike hates I hate. Lost World Fallen Kingdom.
The trailer. You heard it here first. Yeah. You heard it here. But yeah, I mean, we saw... I should have looked it up before. I want to say the Han Solo one we saw, it is the second one they released, the longer one.
Yeah.
But I feel the one that's in the theater... had different stuff in the beginning.
I think it did because I kept. Did they show the train in this one? I don't recall it.
No, not as much.
Yeah,
but like also, I don't remember it starting off with so much of him talking.
Yeah,
without him being like, you know, talking to that one guy, you know, in the thing is like he's like narrating it almost. And I was like, is this a different cut for the release of Black Panther? Because I'm pretty sure it is. But Ant-Man was the same one. We only have one Ant-Man and Wasp trailer so far.
Yeah.
When we saw Black Panther today, we did not get Infinity War in front of it, which I thought was really weird, since that's the next one.
Yeah,
we did. Speaking of which, I don't know what we're talking about on the show, Mike, how do you think Ant-Man and Wasp is going to fall into a post-Infinity War movie? Because it comes out after Infinity War.
Did it come out after the second one, too? No, it's going to be...
No, it comes out in July.
That means it's based... The time frame is going to be before Infinity War.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, I don't know if Ant-Man is even in Infinity War.
Yeah.
Because we've got to really see him in the trailers so far, right?
I think we've seen him. I don't know about the trailers.
He's in the poster.
We've seen him in the poster, yeah.
Yeah.
Or, like, a still. I saw something. I at least seen a still from it.
So I'm just wondering how much of that, like, when does it place? Because
obviously, Ant-Man and Wasp is going to be based before Infinity War starts. Because that's the one thing Marvel's been a little bit weird about, is their timelines of the movie. Because, like, isn't, like, Black Panther 2, there's a little bit of confusion of where this one falls in the timeline.
No, they say it right after. The movie takes place days after the assassination, at the end of Civil War.
Right, but, like, that's what I'm saying, though, is, like, other movies, not confusion for, like, nobody knows. Confusion is, like, other movies have happened.
Oh, before Black Panther?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why none of the other people are involved in it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, yeah. though. But, like, just going, like, you can't, in order of release, you can't line up the Marvel movies.
Right.
So they do this shit. Like, so it's, you know, it's something that they do, so you're kind of used to it by now. So, yeah, Ant-Man and Wasp will take place, obviously, after the events of Civil War, because they reference it.
Yeah.
And that's, he's arrested or on house arrest or something going into this one. And so, what's going to be weird is I think there's going to be obviously cliffhangers from Avengers, but the Marvel writers are pretty clever. So I'm thinking the end of Ant-Man and Wasp is going to reveal something that makes the second movie make more sense that we don't know.
The second
Avengers. Infinity War.
Oh, I thought maybe it was going to lead into how he, like, where he's at. Because I was wondering if this takes place before Infinity War, is she in Infinity War?
Maybe she dies.
Don't say that.
Just saying, Marvel's gonna start killing off some characters pretty soon.
Yeah, it's a little early to kill off Wasp. I mean,
maybe she goes down heroic as fuck, though, you know,
in her own movie.
Maybe
that's messed up, man. She didn't make it. She doesn't make it to the trilogy.
Maybe, I don't know.
Man, that's but some horse shit.
I don't think she'll die. But what I'm saying, though,
kinda is sounds like you want her to die,
right?
The something's gonna get revealed in Ant-Man and Wasp that reveals a question that's been asked during Infinity War to make more sense going into Infinity War 2.
It says the whole
there's gonna be something in there that there's left up, like confusion, like an unanswered question, that us getting the background on something will be like, oh, that means this is a thing. You know what I mean? That makes sense?
Nope.
Yeah, it does. But that's it. It's gonna happen.
Fair enough. I do like the idea that it would somehow explain something in the second half of the series of the Infinity War movies. I do like that.
Okay.
You want to talk about Black Panther?
A little bit, yeah.
Let's talk about Black Panther.
You sure?
Just a little bit, though.
Okay.
As per usual, we're going to go around the table. Michael, three things that you liked and one thing you were surprised by.
Three things I liked.
Yep. Three scenes or three whatevers.
They have to be actual scenes, or can I just...
They don't have to be whole scenes. They can be like something from a scene.
Mm.
Or somebody. It doesn't have to be. Just three things you liked from it.
All right. I liked the car chase scene.
In South Korea?
Black Panther is surfing.
Busan, yep.
On a car.
Yeah, the one that we see in the trailer.
Very Teen Wolfish.
Yeah. But, like, all the little intricate details of that scene were super dope. Like, just the, like, she was about to drive into traffic and he fucking...
Windsurfs in. It.
Yeah, it's windsurfs the car to a hard left. That was super badass. Or the kinetic energy buildup in his suit he used to fucking blow some shit out of the way. Just that whole scene was... One, looked amazing, because that was a great setting for a super dope car scene. So that was one of my favorite things. Chadwick Boseman and Michael B. Jordan are two of my favorite actors. And I remember... And
they're both American.
Chadwick Boseman American?
Mm-hmm.
He was so good, I figured he was British.
he asked me, right? I'm pretty sure he's American. I'm pretty sure he's heard him talking. He's straight up American.
But they're two of my favorite actors, and if you're a longtime listener of the podcast... Nice.
We got one!
We're representing, man. We're in the race again. If you're a longtime listener of this podcast, you'll know that, obviously... I'm a huge fan of Michael B. Jordan, mainly because of Creed. but he was amazing in Fruitvale Station as well. And so I had a lot of like high hopes that he's going to start just getting these massive movie roles, which he is, like this character. Probably the best villain in a Marvel movie.
Most solid villain for sure.
I think he's the best. I feel really confident saying that. Because every other character is like a... And I know this is a creation of their own doing, kind of, again, which is a fucking trope that I'm really upset is still happening. But it's... He's not directly responsible for it. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of other shit, outside influences, and obviously not him doing the act that led to him, you know what I mean? That, so...
It's very Iron Man-ish, though.
Yes, because his dad
is the one that kind of fucked it up.
But there's also the circumstances in the world...
Yeah,
you know,
formed
yeah. him. I feel like
molded him into the terrible person.
Was like, I'm gonna kill Tony Stark. Like, well, that I was felt like that was his yeah. his thing. I don't think his environment.
I was thinking more of Iron Man 1 with Ironmonger.
No, I think it's more. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So I'm a huge fan of Michael B. Jordan. He kills it as Killmonger, and then if you go back to after I saw 42 and after I saw Get On Up, I think, and I can't remember, it must have been right after it was announced that Chadwick Boseman is going to play Black Panther. I was super excited about it. I was like, this dude's going to be one of the biggest movie stars in the world. It's like soon. And this is really...
Marvel got him.
Yeah, Marvel got him. That's yep. that was like... Because he killed it in like... The biopic is a hard thing to do. And he had a great performance in two of them. Back to back. And it's like, oh, well, this guy can actually act his ass off. You know, having the charisma and the screen presence and the physical abilities to lead a big budget action movie was like the next thing he needed to do. And if he could do all of that, like it's done. Like he's fucking up there in terms of star power. Like he's, whatever he does is going to be at least very exciting or very highly anticipated. And he's obviously going to make some shitty movies at some point, cause everyone does. But I feel like his track record, when it's all said and done, he's going to have a very high percentage. And then the rest of the cast was great too, but those two in particular, very fantastic. And then just the visuals alone, like everything looked so fucking cool and unique too. Like Wakanda was fucking dope. It's this weird mix of like cultural, like accuracy with like the outdoor shops and everything like that. But it was like a high tech version of it, like a high-tech futuristic version, which, saying that, and if you haven't seen the movie and listened to that explanation, you're like, that doesn't make any sense. But when you see it, you'll be like, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense. So that was really cool. And then like my biggest surprise was M'Baku. He was fucking dope, and I really want him to be the villain in the next one a lot. And I don't know who that guy is at all. Like, that's why it was surprising. Cause,
oh, please.
Yeah. Like, he's got to... He can't have much stuff on his resume. Because, like I said, I had no idea who he was. Mm-hmm. And after the first scene with him, you're thinking, oh, he's... You know, that was the reason. I'm sure his group of people will come into play later. But I didn't think the way he did would be the reason.
Yeah. He was in Special Victims Unit.
Well, everyone was. If you're an actor, you've been in a Law and Order.
He has two movies. Both come out this year.
Okay.
And the other one is Infinity War.
Oh. So, not a lot of people knew who he was.
Yeah.
He has, he was in 3 episodes of Modern Family.
Okay.
7 episodes of Person of Interest.
Okay.
3 episodes of The Messengers. And apparently 1 episode of Law and Order SVU and Major Crimes.
Okay, so outside of Modern Family, I might have seen him in Modern Family. I'm thinking I may remember that now. But I don't know who this guy is, and he was so good. scary and intimidating, but then very funny in some scenes. I'm like, all right, this dude showed a lot of range in this very limited role.
You speak another word, I'm going to feed you to my children.
Yeah, just kidding. Just kidding. Vegetarians.
We're vegetarians.
And then, like, he played the good guy in this one. He obviously helped out, came through in the end, but I can just see that dude fucking getting his hands on one of those plants and wanting to fucking take over.
If there are any.
Oh, there's some more left, sir. All right, there's some more. There's always safeguards to prevent from a crazy king ruining everything.
Remember that. Just have to have Chadwick Boseman jack off into the sand.
Yeah, that's what happens. Black Panther has to jack off onto a sea.
Special sand, though. It's a special sand.
That red stuff you get that buried in?
No, it's like the...
Oh, no, it's the red stuff you get buried in. Every Black Panther is buried in sand cum.
You took it in a terrible place, by the way.
Yep. Well, that's how you access the ancestral plane. There's
why
no
do you
other
think
way.
You see the ancestors.
You're covered in their
covered in their DNA.
All those guys around him in that one scene are the grandfather.
You're
grandfather,
in us.
Grandfather, grandfather, grandfather.
Yeah, it's not weird. It's tradition.
Exactly.
Yeah, but those are my three and my one. There you go.
You're disgusting,
Joe.
Oh, my turn.
Yep.
Okay. This is a really hard movie to pick any favorite things.
You have to pick three.
Okay, fair enough.
And a surprise.
Obviously, Mike's already touched on a few of these, but the actual Wakanda and the aesthetics of the Wakanda were fucking fantastic. It is this really cool combination of more traditional African styles and even dresses and just the way they dances and stuff like that, but it's combined with this technological futuristic place and things and stuff. So that was really cool visually and culturally, just looking at it culturally, it was really cool. As much as I want to, I think the what's his name, not Killmonger, but
Andy Serkis's character
was awesome.
He's been awesome before, though.
Yeah, but he didn't get as much screen time as I don't think.
They really ramped up his craziness in this Age of Ultron.
It was real fun. Yeah.
He was a nut job the entire time.
I enjoyed this, especially when he's essentially duct taped and handcuffed to that chair. He's got the one arm taken off, and he's sitting there singing.
What is love?
What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Just fucking crazy, having fun with it. I thought that was absolutely awesome. And then for the third thing, you could actually just say the whole entire cast was phenomenal.
They did a pretty good job of casting this one.
They did a really good job of casting it, but I think every piece of dialogue, every joke, every serious moment, everything was hit on just...
Extremely well done.
Extremely well done. Extremely well done. As far as what I'd be surprised about, I was surprised to see how much... we knew Wakanda had, a lot of technology. But to see how advanced it actually was, it goes beyond just Black Panther having a Iron Man suit. You know, you have those remote control... chairs or something that just come up out of the ground, and they're able to just slap that.
It comes out of that weird sand.
Yeah, it comes out of the weird sand. But I mean, at one part towards the beginning of the movie with the car chase, he's not actually driving one of the cars.
He, as in
Black Panther's not actually driving one of the cars. It's his
sister
who is back in Wakanda, driving it in this weird simulation type thing. And then towards the end of the movie, where you have Martin Freeman's character sitting in it and piloting the main ship of Black Panthers to take down the other ships that are getting out.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry. I didn't say what they're getting out with. It's not like I told them that they're trying to get out with vibranium or anything.
Vibranium weapons.
Sorry, weapons, vibranium. Yeah.
You're fucking spoilers right, Joe.
I know. So all that technology was surprising to see, how advanced it actually was. You finally get a real good look at the the invisibility thing, that the cloak that they have around the city, where you fly right through it, was really cool and kind of makes me wish we would have saw it in 3D. Because there's definitely shots in there that would be like, oh, that'd be fantastic in 3D.
Yeah.
You know?
Him drive him on the fucking Teen Wolf on top of that car?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Shit, yeah.
There was something else I was going to mention about. Oh, I liked. I'm just going to add a fourth thing.
The surprise was a fourth thing.
No, I'm going to add a fourth thing to the things that I liked. So,
yeah.
And that was the actual story itself in this interesting, almost commentary of like what's happening today with like immigration and stuff like that, and where you have this world there that you have some people that are like, we need to go out and help people. And then you have other people that are literally at one point in the movie, somebody says something about a wall being built. And I was like, ah, that's funny, because this character just wants essentially a wall to be built, and then they never have to deal with other people's problems or anything again.
And they talk about
Ross says it.
Yeah.
At one point, you can't build a wall.
Yeah,
you have to build bridges. And then at the end of the movie, he uses it in his speech to the UN people.
Well, and then his buddy turned asshole, forgot his name, the Get Out guy, tells him like
Get Out guy.
Go ahead. That's right, yeah.
If you let refugees in, you let in refugees' problems too.
Yeah.
And that's been said on Fox News 1,000 times in the past year. So it's like, yeah, this is a very topical movie.
Yeah,
like,
and it was enjoyable to,
but done in a way where it's going to hold water in 20
exactly.
years. You can watch it and not feel like, oh, this was only made for a certain time frame. Like,
and it wasn't preachery or anything.
No.
It was just making references to stuff like that, and it affected the people within Wakanda and the people outside of it as well. So I like that. Cody?
Hello! So my three things that I liked about this movie is talking about Joe's surprise. One, I like the fact that they did showcase how advanced they were.
Mm-hmm.
I have read Black Panther comic books, so I knew how advanced they technically were.
I have not.
Neither have I, actually.
So I was a little bit of ahead of that. But I like the fact that they actually did. They focused. Obviously, the overall point of the movie is they are so advanced, but I like the fact that they did utilize it so much with the remote driving of vehicles, the jet, the car, even down to the fact that they redid his suit just for the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the fact what they did with it too, because it, spoiler alert, if you don't want to hear about spoilers about Infinity War, turn off now. That's where Tony and Spider-Man get their new suits from.
Yeah.
Is after the events of this end of this movie where they say they're coming out to it, Chadwick Boseman gets approached by Tony to develop what he was already working on, as we saw from Civil War with the glove, the watch where it came out and had the blaster on it. Obviously, it formed itself out of what was locked in his watch. As Iron Man has progressed through the movies, you see him making the suit smaller and more compact and able to wear, you know, like obviously fly around by itself and fit him in it, or come out of a suitcase when he pulls it from Iron Man 2, that sort of thing. So it's cool to see that they are even farther ahead, because they took what was this crazy technologically advanced bulletproof cat suit and are able to put it into a necklace that he can not in control with like anything like voice commands. He literally just has to think about it and the suit comes out, and then he can retract the helmet the same way. Yes, and her joke about that made me laugh so much.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'm getting shot at. Hold on, let me put my helmet on.
Yeah.
I was like, so I like that a lot. I like the fact that it, and like, and the endless jokes they use to that extent too, like the whole hover bike thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like riding a hover bike. You guys have hover bikes?
Yeah.
Like the sneakers thing, you
I
know?
Call them sneakers.
Yeah. I was like, you know, because that you knew
and him. He was just having none of it.
He was so like, he's like, oh god,
I like this guy.
Yeah. He's like, you're dead to me with your terrible puns.
Martin Freeman, a
colonizer. Yeah.
That's my shit. I was like, whitey.
I loved the second one. Thing I liked was, I mean, I really liked the car chase scene, because that was just fucking, just the whole thing was rad.
Yeah.
One of the best car chase scenes in modern movies, but also it was very different than Lam 2 because like it was very destructive, but it was very, a lot of the destruction was very practical, like the crashing of the cars and stuff, and obviously not shooting a sonic cannon to blow one of them up, but you know what I mean, like she throws the spear through the windshield of the one SUV, it hits the ground because it's the vibranium, the car just basically impales itself on there and breaks. Which, by the way, on-screen death in this movie.
Tons.
Oh,
yeah. So much.
She stabs a guy in the balls. That dude's dead. If he's not dead, he's going to kill himself because he got stabbed in the balls. She jumps off the railing in the one part, which is actually my second favorite one, is the fight in the casino. That whole part was just madness. I love that. It was like very 80s, where just guns are going off everywhere for no fucking reason, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I was like, yes, Ryan Coogler knows how to do things. That motherfucker is shooting people for no reason. What's her name? She kills two dudes on the railing with the, maybe they had vests on, they got knocked out, whatever. But
nah, they did.
But they pretty much did.
Yeah, like you know what I mean. I just love that scene because it's like, you see Black Panther. Well, he's like not as Black Panther. You know what I mean? He's just whooping ass, like taking everyone down. And he's like, because we now know that he does have the plant in him, so he has the super strength. He kicks that one dude across the room into the bar, and then he's like, he kicks the one dude's leg into the other dude, and the dude slams down because you realize how hard he kicked the guy. And then, of course, him like picking up a desk and taking a hit from the sonic cannon. So that was my second favorite one. My third favorite one was Andy Serkis. Every scene he's in, he's just chewing up everything about it. I mean, the break-in at the museum was fantastic, where he's like, no, you come here, you can go, just don't tell me what happened here, and shoots him in the back of the head. And of course the explanation is, I wanted to spread the
crime scene
over so we look like amateurs. And I was like, that's so fucking cool. But then of course the interrogation scene where he's just singing, and then, but the thing about that is like, it shows, we all know Andy Serkis is an amazing actor, because if you can act and you're never on camera and you're better actor than people who are on camera, that's hard to do, because you're taking something that is intangible and you're putting so much emotion into it. People get like with Caesar, you know what I mean, from Planet of the Apes, he does such an amazing job, and he's not really technically on camera, you know what I mean. And like, I liked him when he was, for a little bit he was in Age of Ultron, and of course like I said, he just ramped him up his ridiculousness in this one. But the whole thing was like with the hand, like he's always kind of like doing things with it, and he was like, you know, like because the sonic cannon or whatever, but he's like, he's so happy when he uses it, like when he leans out of the car and he's like just blasts, he's like, yeah, he's so happy to fuck shit up with that hand
when
cannon.
He gets when in the car, they're like, turn the radio on, this isn't
he's like, what is this, a funeral? The whole mixtape line, he's like, I am releasing, I gotta, you know, I can give you the sound, like, the he turns around, he's like hey, can you get the, and he's like, I don't want to hear, don't let me listen to your music.
That was the best part actually, where he says, I'll give you the link to the SoundCloud. It's
He's like, he's so far advanced, he's putting his debut album on SoundCloud. Ridiculous. So that was my third favorite thing, is Andy Serkis in every scene he was in. I was very upset when they did kill him off, spoiler, in this movie.
It just added like, to Killmonger though. Because he kills his girlfriend to get to him.
Really girlfriend though? You know or just general.
But whatever. Buddy. But it's like, it's set in the tone.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, he's a fucking monster.
At that point in the movie, we don't have all the details on him either. So,
do you think he scarred himself up for those three kills?
No, I'm sure.
I'm sure. I mean, he already had a bunch of them on there, so yeah, he had a few. No fear of doing it.
I'm just wondering if we went back, would we see... Well, his arms and upper body were pretty covered. I wonder if they're on his legs or whatever. I wonder if he's just like sitting on that plane ride out or whatever on the trip in. He's just like,
yeah, he's fucking out in the calf.
Because those scarring is a technique. You have to the way they do it is they take a weird curved blade and they push in and they lift up. So what it does is it pulls that flesh out and sits on top, and that's how the scar's created. So I'm wondering if it would have been cool to see like him do that sort of thing.
I wonder if that might be a deleted scene.
Could be
like him in the plane.
Yeah. Just, put an autopilot and be like, hold on, roll, because he had three just right then, because he killed the one guy, shot her, and then obviously killed Serkis.
Yeah.
Lucy's claw. And the one thing I was surprised by is how much I like his sister. I liked that character so much because she is her own everything. She has that little, you know, he even makes the comment about, I want to see what you do to your traditional clothes for the ceremony. Mm-hmm. And obviously, like, she has that little flair. And then, of course, the speaking up when they're like, is there anyone in royal blood that wants to step up? And she just raises her hand. She's like, can we speed this up? This course, yeah. It's really uncomfortable. I was like, that's pretty awesome.
And she's a Q.
Yep.
She's Q.
She's Q. She's Q and she's M, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Because she orchestrates the whole thing.
Black Panther with the, what are those?
Yeah.
I was like, all right. Yeah. I like this person.
Even in the face of...
Kick your suit. Just go ahead and hit it.
Just hit your suit.
Why are you kicking
why
it
so hard?
The
yeah.
room?
So, like, I invite you in my lab and you start knocking stuff over? I was like... Because she didn't. And then, of course, as soon as she goes, all right, now hit it again, and she pops up the recording, he's like, it's for, research. Mm-hmm. He's like, delete that footage. Everything about her, she's so giddy mm-hmm. when she gets to drive the car, and like she's just like, they made her really, really smart, but,
She is, and I was thinking about this, she is now, I'm not even going to say probably, she's the smartest character in the MCU universe.
Yeah.
Like, she's smarter than Tony Stark, smarter than everybody because her technology is so far advanced. So
she grew up with such advanced technology.
Yeah, so able to go into it. So like she's light years ahead of everybody.
She's a doctor. She's an inventor.
Like I said, even Stark, which is I hope there's a fun scene with that. Her and Banner and Stark
have to have
a scene together at some point.
Yeah. Infinity War would be perfect.
Yeah,
time for it.
Like I'm really hoping that happens now.
Infinity War needs to be like 5.5 hours long, right?
Well, totally it will be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's only one Infinity War.
Two and a half
movie.
Of the first one.
We don't know what the second one is called yet, so.
Infinity War 2 and Infinity Harder.
That got a little too control-y for me.
You sure?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I liked where your head was at, but man, it did not sound good.
Hmm.
Infinity Harder.
I like it.
Of course Mike does.
It's I like
full penetration. And infinite amount of penetration, no less. He's like, that's like the best kind. If I can just keep penetrating over and over and over and over and over and over again. Is it the ultimate goal? Yeah. I thought it was to be happy, but whatever makes you happy,
same.
I guess, right?
Yeah.
He's like, no, that's exactly what makes me happy. So, I mean, I would almost say the three of us enjoyed this movie a lot.
Yeah. It was really good.
Are you I take this shit very seriously, and it takes a lot of time for me to like make my final judgments on it. But
second favorite movie in the Marvel Universe.
Yep. Number one being Guardians 2?
No.
Which one?
We talked about this already.
I can't remember which one.
Winter Soldier.
Winter Soldier? Okay.
Because much like Winter Soldier...
it's its own genre.
It is its own genre, but it's different, but similar to other things that have come in the past, you know what I mean? But the other thing about it, too, is it has its own flair to it because of like obviously the setting it's in, the tone, but it's not touched by the other movies, even though it's steeped directly in the middle of them. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like with Winter Soldier, it was knee deep in everything that was going on, and it even set off things that rippled through like a TV show with like the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff, where S.H.I.E.L.D. gets disbanded because of what happened with Hydra and all that fun stuff, right? So it sends ripples through the Marvel MCU. So does Black Panther, with him coming out with technology, and even that moment at the end of the movie, spoiler, when he's talking to that little kid, and the kid's like, who are you? And he has that smirk on his face. That's like an Iron Man moment. He's about to say, like, I'm Black Panther. I'm not the king of Wakanda. I'm Black Panther.
Yeah.
I'm more than just a king. Yes, that's I am, and it wasn't really my choice, but you know what I am? I'm Black Panther. And so, like, that's really, I think that's a really cool thing. Because there's a lot of those moments throughout this. And obviously, there's parallels between him and Tony, as well as him and Cap, because they are patriots to their country, but they want more for their country. When it comes to Cap, for Iron Man, obviously, he's following his dad's footsteps, but he realizes his dad's footsteps aren't the best ones, and so he wants to change, just like Tony did with his dad. And his dad ultimately made the bad guy that he had to kill, even though it was someone, it should have been someone close to him, like his, cousin for that sort of thing. But I like the fact that the reason it's so high for me on my list above Guardians, which I still want to put Guardians 1 and 2 like as one thing, just because I can't pick which one of those I like more. We've discussed this before. Mm-hmm. But the reason it's above it is because Guardians does feel different than all the other movies because obviously it's set in space and it has a different feel. But this movie sets itself apart for being similar but making it feel different than anything else we've seen, even though there are those parallels that I just talked about and there. But everything in this movie is really good. The story is really good. The acting is amazing. The cinematography is phenomenal. There's a bit of issues with the obviously some of the fights between him and Killmonger when they're in the suits, but that's because no human being can do what they had to do. You know, like, not just on the tracks, but, like, when they're going in the air and they're tussling. No human being can do that, even on wires and in green screen. It's just impossible to do that. That's why they're superheroes. So I get that. And every now and then it looks a little like a rubber human being, but it doesn't bother me. It doesn't take me away from it. I was like, oh, look at him. Fucking just reaches back. When he comes off and he jumps up, when he's dragging the claw down, and he slows himself down, then he jumps off. And he rears back and just punches him so hard that he hits him and flies past him and lands first. I was like, he punched him so hard, he crash landed. And then, of course, Killmonger lands with a fucking superhero man land. I was like, you son of a bitch. Though I will say this, though. I am disappointed that technically, Killmonger is dead. Even though, spoiler in a comic book, he died and came back. But,
yeah, he's definitely a guy I would love to see in another movie.
Yeah. He was so... Like,
I mean, it's comic books. You can do it.
Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, technically speaking.
But almost... Some,
we haven't seen the Soul Stone in its full-on usage yet either, so... Because all we've seen is it make Vision come to life. So...
Don't know.
Anyways, what were you going to say?
As much as I want to see him in another movie, I almost don't want... this performance to be like cheapened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the story in Black Panther was so good that I kind of just want to leave it alone and move on. But that being said, I would really like to see Killmonger in another movie. So yeah, it's like, I don't know. I'd still probably lean on the side of bring him back for something.
It's funny because when Mission Impossible is the other trailer we forgot to mention we saw again with in front of this. I knew there was another one we were forgetting that we watched, the Fallout trailer. I want Michael B. Jordan to be a Bond villain. You know what I mean? But I want him to be a villain in a Mission Impossible movie.
I want him to be James Bond.
I would too, but I liked his villain so much. Because of the way he is, I want him to be more like I want another one of those. But the other thing being a Bond villain, you don't really last past one movie,
right?
So like that's a bad thing. But it was so good. Like I want to see that. Like that he just plays that part so well. Like I'm not going to go as far. Some people say that he deserves an Oscar for it. I think he was good, but I don't know if I would say he was Oscar worthy in it. I don't know if that's a thing. But he was fucking phenomenal in this movie. I didn't see anything in the performance of anybody in it. It was like, oh, they blew my mind more than any actor I've ever seen in anything lately or whatever. But like, I think he did a tremendous job.
I think he did the best job he could in this movie.
Oh, for sure.
Like, yeah. I don't think he could have been better. I think he did exactly what he needed to do.
Yep. Black Panther, y'all.
Go see it.
For sure.
Wakanda Forever.
It's good.
Yep. Kind of makes me hope they don't ruin it with a second one.
Oh, they're going to ruin it with a second one.
I'm just saying, like...
Don't you worry.
I know they're going to do another one, because, I mean, this one's made so much fucking money, it's stupid. As long
as they bring back Ryan Coogler, I think they're good.
Yeah.
That's the thing I'm most disappointed about the new Creed movie, is Ryan Coogler's not directing it. I was like, oh my god, he's so vital to the success of that movie, that, I mean, I'm sure it's going to be good. You know, because they obviously have this new direction with those movies that makes sense, and it has legs to make sequel. But Ryan Coogler is just like the best, man. He's what, three feature lengths in, and he's
three
killed it in all three of them on like per very different movies too,
drastically different.
Yeah,
movies.
All three of them. So it's like now he's kind of proven like if he could fucking do a full-blown comedy, like he ran the gambit, you know what I mean? Like he proven he can do pretty much everything. So
and the best and the thing about it too is it's one of those things where he wrote all three of those movies and he directed all three of those movies, So, like, obviously, there's a reason he does. There's always that thing when, like, a writer is directing it, because they know what they were what they were thinking of when they were writing it, how they saw it in their heads, so he can then obviously better articulate what it is that he wants to do with it. And that's always been a really good thing. Like, there's a whole lot of, I mean, writers and directors out there that do both, but there's a lot of them don't do the same, like, they don't write the same project they're going to do, but when they do, it's that masterstroke way of doing it. And obviously he is, and I'm glad that he's not rushing out to do more things. I mean, between the first two, I mean, there was a short amount of time, but it wasn't, I mean, the first, I mean, his first movie was very small for what it was, and then obviously Creed was a very large, not scale movie, but very large footprint, because he's coming back into the Rocky world, and, like, it's a very tentative thing to do, especially so early in your career, and you wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's fucking bold in general.
Yeah.
Your second movie ever, right? You're writing it, and it's fucking Rocky.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, you pretty much have to be really confident with what you're doing, and obviously he is, because, I mean,
he rebooted a franchise that was dead, and
not only rebooted it, recreated it.
Yeah.
In a way where it didn't feel
reboot's cheap. The wrong word. I hate when people do what I just did. He resurrected a franchise that was completely dead and done with, and somehow made it just as good as, if not better, than any other high point in that series.
Yeah.
That's fucking rough, dude. That's
for your,
like,
second movie, no less.
Yeah, your second movie ever. It's like, I'm trying to think who could, like, what other, like, if they're to do, I know this is, imagine, this is kind of a bad example, but I can't really think off the top of my head, but imagine if they're to do another Blade movie with Wesley Snipes and make it the best Blade movie. You know, like, how unlikely that is with that much time pass, or another Indiana Jones movie with Harrison Ford, and somehow make it just as good as any other, instead of, like, the last one was. You know what I mean? Exactly. So it's really hard to take that established property that has had its peaks and valleys. And I thought Rocky Balboa ended it on a pretty good note. I like Rocky Balboa. It wasn't the best one, but it was a good movie, and it was a nice ending point to that story. But the fact that these Creed movies aren't really Rocky movies, he's a supporting character, like a very big character, but just a supporting character, so you can continue his personal story, but shift the focus on a new character who has this great, already has this great built-in background that you could use. It was fantastic writing and just storytelling in general. So yeah, for him to be able to do that is a fucking borderline a magic trick to make that movie as good as it was, because it really didn't have any business being that good.
Yeah, it could have gone the
it could have been a fucking disaster. Yeah, like, it very easily could have been a disaster, but
everyone in that movie is fucking amazing in it too. That's the thing.
He's Ryan Coogler does a great job of getting the little things right.
Well, he's a really good director.
Yeah.
Which plays out, and we've talked about this before, a really good performance. You can have a really good actor that doesn't do a good performance, but it comes down to the material, but also who's leading them, you know, who's directing them. But then you have these subpar actors who then put in amazing performances, and you're like, I don't understand how this is possible. This person was atrocious in this movie. They're lackluster at best in some of these other ones, and then they come out and are just amazing in these movies, and you're like, how is that a thing? Like, how is that possible? You know what I mean? But then it comes down to who's directing it and with what they can do. And being that it's his third movie, the first is
Fruitvale Station.
Fruitvale Station. That movie has five characters in it, right?
Yeah, essentially. Yeah,
and most of it's Michael B. Jordan. Mm-hmm. Well, all of it's Michael B. Jordan, really. He's tremendous in it, which is what Mike was talking about earlier, being, you know, like, oh, he's going to be huge, and he is. But, like, going from that, where it's very character-driven, to something where in Creed, these characters are some the people we know, like their environments we know, the story, air quotes, we know, but like it's obviously a different story, it's a different point of view. Amazing performance by everybody, and you come into this with high caliber people all over, and everybody is fantastic.
Dude, Angela Bassett's like seventh down on
yeah
on the role.
Yeah, sheet, you know? Exactly. Like, right. But then you have some like, for example, Winston Duke, who plays the
M'Baku.
M'Baku. He comes out and he's,
who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah, it's like, dude, yo, how are you not everything right now? You know, where did this come from?
He's gonna take off too. Because
if he was scary, he was intelligent, he was hilarious,
yeah,
and then he was scary again. But then he was like, he's just he. I was like, this. I don't know where they, how they come up with this guy, but like, good job.
Yeah.
Wait, Marvel just fucking set this guy on the right path. You know what I mean? And he's only done technically he's only done one movie we've seen. The other one is, I don't know how much he's in Infinity War, but I mean, everybody's Infinity War, but so
if,
who knows?
Like, you gotta think if you're, like, Ryan Coogler likes using the same people.
Obviously.
Because Michael B. Jordan's been in all three of his movies. Well, I mean, if you got a stud like that and you guys work that well together, yeah, keep putting him in your movies. But you gotta think his next movie, he's gotta have a role for that guy. Like, there's something for that dude.
If not, sure. Because obviously Michael B. Jordan might be super busy now. He may even just do something with just not just him, but like, you know, with more of
yeah.
him. But yeah, I mean, he needs that kid. If he doesn't become something.
But that goes to your point. We don't know if that dude is a super stud actor yet, or if it was more Ryan Coogler putting these people in the right position. Because Michael B. Jordan's done enough, and it's all of his great stuff is with Ryan Coogler, but he's been so consistently good. Like, you know, it's also him. You yeah. know what I mean? I'm confident he can go in other movies and steal the show, which he has. The movies, like, I'm like bringing it up, but Fantastic Four. His performance, I thought, was really good, and there's so many things wrong with that movie that you can't.
And it's
really...
not, and I would almost say it's not the acting that was in it, no. in that movie. Yeah,
no, at not at all. It's the weird story and the obviously meddling and the direct, just a whole lot of other things wrong with that movie. But even Michael B. Jordan going back to like Friday Night Lights or even The Wire,
Chronicle,
you could tell he was a good actor, and put him with Coogler, he's great. So we don't know if that other dude is gonna be a really good actor, or if it was Ryan Coogler putting his people in the right position. Hopefully he's a really good actor, and when he does his next thing, he does just as well, and he could be one of the next big stars too.
He's not American though.
Well, that makes sense. That's probably why he's good.
That does make sense. Speaking of making sense, as of recording right now, the last total I can find is the box office results worldwide for this movie so far are $462 million plus. Nice. It has more than doubled its budget in less than a week.
Nice.
Yeah. It's pretty good, I would say. Oh, the other thing, too, I really enjoyed was the soundtrack in the movie, because they did use, obviously, like, you know, some of the chants and stuff from the from Africa in it, and, you know, obviously, like, you know, the whole ceremony that he goes through, but the way they infused that into it, and as well as they infused the music with the whole, what is this, a funeral thing, that thing,
yeah.
But also the swelling of the music at certain points is just so fucking well done. I was like, man, this dude knows what he's doing for sure. But yeah, I enjoyed that a lot. Soundtrack's really good if you haven't heard it yet either. I think my favorite musical scene or music scene in it was the casino one. I think it helped me like that scene so much is because that song that starts playing with The Weeknd singing, it just comes in and then like crescendos, you know, like it builds up and then just evenly just stays. I was like, ugh, did such a good job.
Mm-hmm.
It just sets like a really good tone for it, but I don't know, doesn't matter. This is a audio nerd in me talking. But yeah, I would say excellent movie. That's what I would say.
Yep. I concur, doctor.
Hey man, Hey, man, I'll be bringing that shit up. Anything else? Anything else? Anything else?
No.
Michael?
Nope.
Michael?
Nope.
All right. Hey, remember that time you said that show, Superstore, was going to get canceled?
Yeah.
It just got renewed for its fourth season.
Must be a really small budget. That's the only...
I mean, yeah, they just have to
anything you like on a network is going to get canceled.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
And so...
That's why I gave up after like three episodes. I was like, I'm not going to get invested in this at all. It's going to go away. It's just too clever. Apparently, I'm not the only person. NBC is like, no, we like this. I'm like, all right, well, it all comes down to the fact that the characters are so fucked up in it, and it's set in like a retail environment. It's set in like a Walmart type store, but like it has that. You and I definitely know it. Mike knows a little bit about it. That whole like consumer electronics type feel around it is that is so prevalent. Like the customer service have it is so prevalent in this show. It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's like the remember Chuck. Remember the TV show Chuck.
Yeah.
Can you remember that when they're in the store and they have those the customer stuff. That interactions and you're like, oh, cringeworthy because you really know it's real. That's exactly how this is.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah. Oh, you watch Superstore?
I've watched the first like four episodes.
Oh, see the toothbrush thing. You know what I'm talking about? Guy's trying to get the toothbrush and he keeps asking people.
Yeah.
That one's hilarious to me. Anyways, yeah, I think that's it for this week's episode. We lost Mike to Twitter again.
Yeah.
And Joe's giving me the sleepy eyes.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like at the 1 hour mark, it's just like
Joe's energy dwindles. That's a producer.
I'm
actually
looking up stuff about Winston Duke. I'm trying to find out if he's getting anything else besides.
I didn't see anything listed else for him. Which is, I mean, I think it's going to change. People are probably scrambling right now to figure out who the hell Winston Duke is. Plus, he's got a super cool name, which is probably not his real movie
star name.
Yeah,
though.
Winston Duke for sure. That's, for sure.
Tell me that's not on a poster with an explosion and him standing in the middle of it, like
with bitches just falling off of him.
That's a great. If anything, his next movie poster is gonna be fucking amazing. The movie, I don't know.
The movie may be fucking trash.
Yeah.
Oh
shit! He was born November 15th. What's up?
My birthday. What's up? By the way, Chadwick Boseman's 40 years old.
What?
He's born in 1977. He'll be, that technically means he'll be 41 this
Winston
year.
Duke's only 31.
Yeah. He's 40. I saw it when I clicked on it. I was like,
that's a black don't crack right there, man. That kid looks.
I was like, 40. I was like,
you sure? I would have put him at 30.
Right? Like, yeah. I was like, he's got to be one of the youngest actors in Paul Rudd's, like, I think, the oldest besides Robert Downey Jr.
Paul Rudd's a baby face motherfucker, too. Yeah, he looks about the same as he did in Clueless.
Yeah, and he's 50. Like, oh, jeez. He's 48, I think, is what they said. Yeah, anyways, you know, I mean, yeah, when I saw, I was like, I don't know.
The name of this has to be Black Panther Don't Crack.
Black Panther Don't Crack. All right, yeah. Well, fair enough.
That has to be the name of this podcast.
Well, the name of the podcast.
This episode.
Okay. Yeah, Paul Rudd is 48. It's pretty good. It's a lot of like baby.
Congratulations, baby rich blood. People.
Yeah. It's all that money he's made. It's all that Anchor 2 money. Mike just giggles. He's like, that was the worst of the two. Anyways, that's it, everybody, for this episode of Comes Naturally. We are...
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody, and as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.
Oh, yeah.